follow Baldy, Baldy's breakdowns, Jason as well, and myself, as we stay up on everything that's going on in the league. The Lions, right? You quarterback those five interceptions, and you still find a way to win. This team is good. Now, we've been saying that, but it's adverse situations like the one they had to overcome against the Houston Texans the other night where you go, when you can win those games, Baldy and Jason, your team's pretty damn good and resilient. And whatever Dan Campbell has built there, it's showing through, right? You see it through the play.
Well, a couple things. One, yes, there are five interceptions on paper. One was a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
One was, you know, a bubble screen where Jalen Petrie jumped up and batted it. It happens every Sunday to a team. Danielle Hunter hits his arm, and the ball pops up. The defensive line intercepts it. So he threw really two. But then Carlton Davis, in the first 5 minutes of the third quarter, takes two from C.J. Stroud, and they give him great field position. And then you look at him now, and I don't know where Ben Johnson comes up with these ideas. They're not quirky. They're not like from left field. They just, when he runs some of these plays, like you go, nobody else has this play. I know. I've just watched every game. I don't see this. Like he comes up with these concepts that constantly keep you off guard. The offense line is really good. Both backs are great. Jahmyr Gibbs would get 300 touches on every other team in this league.
Yeah.
Except Detroit. Where they're going to balance it up with him and David Montgomery, who also is a starter and a closer. So Jameson Williams is back. But then defensively, you look at Brian Branch and you look at Kirby Joseph and you look at what Carlton Davis is doing. Like, they're playmakers everywhere. And so it might not be the elite pass rush that you're going to get with Aiden Hutchinson, but they still come after you in different ways. Like, they are resilient, tough, well-coached football team.
Yeah, they're driven, man. And look, no one's going to play four quarters every week. It's impossible in this league. There's too much parity. There's too much travel. It's just, playing games in foreign countries. Like, there's just too much shit. But when they're down, like, they rally. Like, I look at them. I look at Pittsburgh. Who wins the second half? Like, who overcomes adversity? When our game plan wasn't right, who can go to plan B, plan C, plan D, and win games in different ways? And who needs a certain template? Who's a front runner? Who needs everything just right every week, and then we can come out on top? But, like, who can tear it all up at halftime and say, all right, I'm going to light a fire under their ass, and we're going to do it differently, and we're still going to win this ballgame? And that's the Detroit Lions. I mean, that is the Detroit Lions, man. Like, they could beat you with the quarterback throwing 55 times, and they could beat you with the quarterback throwing 10 times. Mm-hmm. Like, and they could do it on at home, and they could do it on the road. And guess what? They don't need to be in a dome to do it either. We just saw them go to Green Bay and out-packer the Packers.
Yeah.
So I do still wish they got an edge rusher. I'm not going to lie. I wish they got you Jadeveon Clowney or even a Calais. You got Ian Zadarius Smith and Calais Campbell. Now we got us. Okay. So we don't love everything we have on the edge, but we got the greatest interior rotation we could possibly have, right? Because what happened in that game? They had a D tackle go down. Hopefully it's not for long. But
Calais is still playing at a high level. I mean, that's
especially
that's,
if you keep his reps down. I mean, especially if you keep him to 15 reps.
60% of the snaps in Miami is dominant. He's playing better than he has in any place in the last 5 years.
It's crazy. All right, let's look ahead to these games, guys, because there's four that I have that I think
it's unreal. It looks like playoff football, Carl.
Yes.
This looks like a slate of playoff football games.
Totally agree. So we've got Ravens at Steelers, right? Division game. And that game between the Steelers and Commanders was incredible last week, guys. You guys know. I mean, we were all like, holy crap. But my question, Jason, and I'm starting with you because of the Ravens here, and I want to know if you think the Steelers, and more importantly, Russ, can take advantage of that secondary. They're leaky. They've been exposed. You've talked about it. If you're the Steelers, aren't you going into this game saying, that's where we can take advantage of them? We don't need Lamar to get out up on us, and then we're trying to play catch-up. Let's do what we need to do to take care of that secondary.
Did you watch the second half of the Raiders game?
I did.
Gardner Minshew got off on him. Did you watch the first half of the Broncos game at home? These games are at home. Did you watch the first half of the Broncos game? Bo Nix got off on him, and he was two missed throws away from really getting off on him. Like, everybody's gotten off on him. Of course Russ can get off on him. Like, I mean, they don't have a free safety. They've got one inside linebacker, not two, and the one they have is playing more like a $5 million guy than a $20 million guy. They don't have anybody on the edge.
You might want to put that guy on the scale and just weigh him.
Bro, he ain't the same guy. Roquan Smith ain't Roquan Smith.
He looks a little heavy to me.
Roquan Smith ain't Roquan Smith.
No.
And Patrick Queen left. Patrick Queen's on the other sidelines, and this is Patrick Queen's Super Bowl. Patrick Queen is outplaying Roquan Smith this year, and it's not even close. And that's me telling you Patrick Queen sucked in September while I was still trying to figure out what was being asked of him. But, like, Patrick Queen in that number one defense right now, he's a factor. Roquan Smith is a factor. He's a factor for the other team putting up 30 points a game. Like, so yeah, like, imagine you're Mike Tomlin in that building, and now you're 3.5-point underdogs at home to a team you've owned, to a quarterback you've owned. You want to talk about disrespect. And Mike Tomlin, as a home dog in his career, guys, 18-6-3 against the spread as a home dog, 17-10 straight up. Since 2017, Mike Tomlin has been a home dog 16 times. He is 12-3-1 against the spread and 11-5 straight up. Let this hit four. Let this hit four. Put a small pile on Pittsburgh money line and put a nice pile on those 4 points. Well, because I think Pittsburgh's winning this game, Baldy. Their special teams are superior. Their defense is superior. And I think Lamar Jackson can get his 27. I think Russ can get his 28 or 30.
Well, I'm going to be there Sunday. I'm looking forward to being at this game. I tell everybody that's a football fan, if you really want to enjoy a football game, go on the sidelines for a Ravens-Steelers game and just listen to it. Just listen to the violence of the hits between these two teams. It's played at a different level. Now, that being said, I can guarantee you Mike Tomlin's going to have Deshaun Elliott and Patrick Queen as his captains. Like, they're going to march those two guys out midfield to call the coin toss. Guarantee it. Like, these are two guys drafted by the Ravens. They're now a Steeler. They traded in, play like a Raven. And Deshaun Elliott, by the way, is having a hell of a year. He leads the team in tackles. It's just amazing. Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, they go out and they get Preston Smith. He gets a sack, tackle for loss. They go out and get Mike Williams. He wins the game for him. He couldn't catch a pass with the Jets.
No.
He comes to Pittsburgh. He's there 4 days. He catches the game winner. Like, how does he feel in that team culture of the Steelers right now after what he just experienced in New York, where, like, he wins the game. Like, he's – the game ball's in his hand. He's there 4 days.
And, Baldy, that throw was perfect.
Perfect.
Like the throw from Russ over the shoulder and his concentration to haul it in – I mean, that you're absolutely right. And here's the other thing about Mike Williams. I was talking to somebody in the organization, and I said when they made the trade, can he help? Because he didn't do crap with the Jets. And so I'm like, can he really help? And the sentiment was, yeah, he's big, he's physical, he can help in the run game, blocking, and he can make those kinds of catches we saw Sunday. This team is peaking, to your point, Jason, at the right time. I'm with you on this. I like the Steelers. I'm shocked they're a dog with where they are and how this is escalating for them. And, guys, let me say this. Wouldn't surprise me if they win this division.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't surprise me if they win this division. No, like, everybody's talking about the Ravens. I'm like, wait a minute. Look at the Steelers.
Pittsburgh's got a plus 80-point differential in the second half. It's best in the NFL. Pittsburgh's number one. They're top five in time of possession. They're holding the ball over 32 minutes, and they're top three in the league in turnover ratio.
Well,
they've got a better point differential than the Ravens and a better record, and they're 4-point underdogs at home. All right.
Well, look, I mean, we have to talk about how well Russell is playing and the decision Mike Tomlin made a month ago. It was very questioned around the country. Yeah. If this is the right move, Justin's winning games. He's not losing you games, but Mike Tomlin knew that when you get to games like this on Sunday and to the postseason, you got to be able to throw the ball. The Ravens found that last year when they lost to Kansas City. You got to be able to throw it. And you need a quarterback that can make those type of throws, the type of throw to Mike Williams. Like George Pickens has come alive. He had no touchdown catches with Justin Fields. I'm not knocking Justin. He's got his strengths. But George Pickens right now is he's an acrobat out there. But now you get Cordell Patterson back. Yep. You get Jaylen Warren back.
Yep.
Najee's playing good. And nobody talks about it, but they got a rookie center, Zach Frazier. They got a rookie right guard in Mason McCormick, sixth-round pick. And they look like Steelers. You know, like certain guys. I remember when Minka Fitzpatrick got traded from the Dolphins to the Steelers. And I said, I don't know what it is, Minka, but you just look a whole lot more like a Steeler than you do a Dolphin. And it's just there's certain guys that just look like Steelers. And they know what a linebacker looks like. You know, Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig, Preston Smith, TJ. They know what linebackers look like. They just got this culture. And Tomlin just feeds it every day, every day. And the fans, I'm sure they're waving terrible towels at Acrisure Stadium right now.
Right now.
This is going to be some kind of contest. Lamar has to play, I think, at the highest MVP level, which he certainly is capable of.
He's doing it. Yeah.
And he's doing it. Like, it's going to be – and this – I almost wish all these games we could just take them to January – and put them on, a playoff atmosphere, because that's what it's going to be.
All right, let's talk about Thursday night. I said I had a few games that I think are big. Commanders, Eagles. This is also, you know, Eagles 3.5-point favorite as we speak. All right, the Commanders felt like they got a first down, and we're talking about the Steelers. You know, the review showed it played out.
It wasn't a first down.
And you know, the point is you think that Jalen's going to, you know, Jaden Daniels is going to lead them down and to a winning field goal. Guys, that was a great game. Commanders are for real, right? They look the part. And here are the Eagles coming off of a big blowout win against the Cowboys. This is a big spot. Both teams, 7-2 Eagles, 7-3 Commanders. Jason, what are you looking at here? Because I like the Commanders in this spot right here.
I took Eagles money line when it opened at 2.5. It's a short week. I do think this is kind of new territory for Washington. Baldy, what happened to Jaden Daniels' legs? Like, if that's something that has been sort of like, if they're playing the long game with him, I totally get it after the rib injury. But I think if they don't have that element, if he's not that, if that right side 40 yards down the sideline isn't open for business outside the pocket, I think it makes life a little more difficult for them. I'm starting to buy the Eagles defense a little bit more. When they first started turning around, I was a skeptic. Who are they playing? What are they doing? Right. Are they buying into this guy for real? Does Vic have their ear? Are they going to hold their ear? Cause they kind of tuned people out last year, but like I'm starting to buy it. And I think Washington's difficulty stopping the run are going to be a problem here. And I think it's Jalen Hurts. I love Jalen Hurts' props in this game. The guy's got 5 rushing touchdowns or 6 rushing touchdowns the last 3 weeks. Like, he's the finisher. He's the tempo setter. I think he's going to run the ball. It's at 9.5. I think he's running the ball 13, 14 times. Their last 5 home games, he's running the ball 13 times a game. Like, I think his legs will be a factor. I think he will help them convert on 3rd and 4th down. And I think they can score one more point at home in a short week against Washington, then they surrender. But I think it's going to be a hell of a football game. If you tell me Jaden Daniels went off and emasculated these guys, I'm not going to sit here and say I think that's crazy. But I'm on the Eagles.
Baldy, real quick, the offense for the Commanders, they are 4th in rushing, right, in the league. I'm looking at this. Mm-hmm. They're running the ball. Guys, they're 3rd in the league in scoring. They're scoring 29 a game. Mm-hmm. Like, they're putting up points. But I do agree with you, Jason, about stopping the run. Baldy, how do you see that up front with both of these teams?
Well, I still think Saquon can win the rushing title. He's got to have a better week than he had last week. But, you know, he's never seen an offensive line like this. I mean, Mekhi Becton is fit right into that culture. They've got the 2 biggest guards in the league, Landon Dickerson and Mekhi. But, I mean, they're great run blockers, the 2 of them. But they're playing great up front. I haven't seen – this is the best Lane Johnson has ever played. This is who they are. They got Dallas Goedert back. He's a good blocker. You know, and Washington, look, I don't know if Marshon Lattimore is going, but, you know, they went after St. Juice for the game winner last week. There's, you know, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith out there. They're going to have their hands full in the back end, and they can protect up front against Joe Witt Jr.'s blitzes and pressures that he needs in order to get guys free. I think, you know, the Eagles have drafted very well. They found Zach Bond. They got kind of lucky. Really didn't play in New Orleans. I think he leads the league in tackles right now. They figured out that position, N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond. The rookie right corner is ridiculous. Like, he doesn't get beat. And Cooper DeJean is they could not figure out. They had five different guys play the slot corner last year. They all stunk. And they picked him up off the street. Cooper DeJean has fixed that position. He's a great tackler. He's making huge plays every week. He's exactly what they thought he was going to be. And they found it, they got a position for him. That they look like – I know they're beating up on a lot of bad teams, and the coach gets in the way sometimes against New Orleans and Cleveland and Jacksonville. He gets in the way sometimes. I mean, I think Philadelphia is just better in the trenches than Washington right now.